Welcome to the Songwalk Echoes podcast. I'm Jeff Peterson, inviting you to join Soundwalk Echoes founder Don Prisby and me as we recall the beauty of our Catholic legacy through music, art, scripture, and story. Let's take a song walk.
Oh, to bring the kingdom. Oh, to know your will. Oh, to sing glory. Oh, to bring the kingdom. Oh, to know your will. Oh, to sing glory. Living in God's likeness, inspiring the goodness, making known the kingdom to everyone around us. Alive now as your people in the covenant of love. Oh, to bring the kingdom. Oh, to know your will. Oh, to sing glory. In the love of Jesus, living out our days, in poverty and spirit, and all the other ways, alive now, in conformity to Christ. Feed us as we forgive, may we may be made whole. Lead us from the tempter, protect us, Lord. All glory, power, and honor to our God. Expressing now our gratitude, making space for grace, bringing forth the kingdom in this holy place. Alive now, in the Spirit, one and all. Oh, to bring the kingdom. Oh, to know your will. Oh, to sing glory.
Oh, that is Songwalk founder, author, songwriter, and melody maker Don Prisby with a piece called The Song of Kerygma, a proclamation indeed, an original and another brand new work here. We've had two here so far in season four, composed and performed with verve. You know, I've got my cup of coffee here. I didn't even need the coffee with that song to provide a musical backdrop here to Gratitude, which is the sixth and final stage of faith that we've been exploring here in season four of the Songwalk episode, Songwalk Echoes podcast. A reminder, all the Songwalk episodes, just like everything in the Songwalk Echoes platform, are presented through the four dimensions of music, art, story, and scripture. And, you know, Don, what a great... we're not done yet with the season, but we are nearing sort of like, you're at a concert and you know, and the band starts playing, you know, the songs toward the end where you're like, okay, I think it's ending. This isn't the encore yet. But man, that song is both in the spirit of it, and the energy of it, but also as I was listening to the lyrics, I mean, you're starting to bring in some greatest hits here from past episodes, from past seasons. You know, some of the making space for grace was in there, conforming to the Son was in there, aligning with the Father. I just love how you're like bringing back some of those notions. But I think what that does is it also, and we've talked about this, I think, in this season, of how everything is connected. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we're taking literally these episodes episodically, but they're all strung together here, and you've done that with that song.
Well, it's helped me see, you know, we've seen in this season looking at the Lord's Prayer that it's beyond a prayer or beyond a 55-word catechism, as Guardini and Pope Francis called it, that it's an ethic. Mm-hmm. It's a way to live. And that song, yes, going back to season one, talking about our centers of moral formation to align with the Father, conform to Christ, and make space for grace. We got to bring all that forward now, yeah, while we're praying the Lord's Prayer as an ethic. We bring our whole moral center to the prayer.
Yeah.
And that's why I brought those into the first, second, and third voices.
Yeah.
One other thing about this song is I wanted it to sound like we're on our horses and we're riding into battle, and this is our ethic. And yet there's some cognitive dissonance there, you know, where we're saying, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." There's a certain expectation of God on that,
yeah,
but moreover, there's an invitation to each of us to make that happen.
Yeah.
So that song is rambunctious, but it could also be done as a sweet, as a ballad,
yeah,
of begging that we would have the disposition that His kingdom would be known, that His name would be hallowed,
yeah,
and that that His power, that His will would be done.
Yeah.
So there's I could have gone in a lot of different, yeah, directions there, and of course I only went where the Lord called me.
Well, and I love the way you went, where you went with it, because also as we're connecting this last portion of the Lord's Prayer, as we've done all season here, but so now we're at the very, very end, you know, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever, amen." So that little doxology area, mm-hmm, I think is what they call it, but then tying it to gratitude, okay? And so sonically, with that piece, the fact that it does have energy, it's a celebratory song, I think that it is, to me, a grateful. That's the sound of gratefulness, you know, and so in connecting the words to the emotion and this dynamic, the sixth dynamic of being grateful, I think that's why it works. But what were you as you were writing it and then connecting it? Because you write this music not for the episodes, so for folks just joining here at Song Walk, you know, Don's got a catalog of hundreds of songs that he eventually connects. But this song, even though it's recently written, you know, you don't sit down and write for an episode. How did you connect that piece to gratitude?
Well, I love that the church calls that the doxology,
yeah,
and doxology means words, logos, of praise, dox. So doxology are words of praise. So in terms of gratitude, you know, gratitude at its base has the word grazie, to give, to, yeah, give back. So to give back and to praise seem to be synonymous,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
So doxology and gratitude seem to work well together.
Yeah.
So along with that, as you know, the song, I wanted it to be out there, moving forward,
yeah,
because at this point in this ethic that we're praying in the Lord's Prayer, it's our time to give and to be grateful.
Yep. I love it. Love it so much. All right. Well, hey, let's, the scripture passage that you've chosen, we had several to choose from here, but we've got language around the kingdom and the power,
mm-hmm,
albeit in a little bit of a different way. So the scripture, and I can't wait to dive into this. And so this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, 1 through 6. We've all heard it. I'll read it quickly here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone.'" The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So that's the end of our little passage there. And of course, we know how that all turned out at the end. But I love how you've taken this passage, which has some of the familiar language of the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yep. But here's the devil saying, like, oh, yeah, it's actually mine to give you. And of course, Jesus knows the right way. But talk about how, you know, in us reading that and reflecting on that, we can actually, and then through the Lord's Prayer, you know, be reminded of really, you know, how it gets turned around and who really has that kingdom and the power and the glory.
Yeah. It's powerful to see the devil interacting with Jesus and promising him the kingdom and the power and the glory. And when we were reading out of Romano Guardini's book, he preciously puts the Lord's Prayer in this context of, you know, the Lord has placed his will in our hands on this earth, you know, would we make his name holy? Would we make his will realized? Would we make the kingdom happen? Meaning our participation in it. And here you have the devil saying, I will give you all of this. And Jesus, you know, saying, don't tempt me. But in some regard, we preciously are called to be involved in bringing the kingdom, the power, and the glory forward. It's the first three parts of the Lord's Prayer. You know, we're just reiterating them in this doxology. So it's got a, I call it precious, but it's also a little terrifying that each day, you know, we're not asking Jesus or Lord, the Father, that your kingdom come, like make it happen. We're saying that I would be disposed that your kingdom would come.
Yeah.
That I would have the radical yes of Mary and the walking toward you that Romano Guardini invites us to, or the beatitudinal spirit that your will would be known.
Yeah.
You know, that I would be holy in this world so that your name would be whole. We would even recognize the holiness of your name.
Right.
It really is calling upon us to embrace an ethic and a disposition to make these things happen our participation.
Totally. And I'm wondering, is it even in the very words, even in just saying the words, even in praying the words, you know, think of when so many of us are actually praying the Lord's Prayer. A lot of times it's at Mass, you know, or church, or whoever's, you know, however you worship, but you're saying it with other people, and you are saying it out loud. It is a proclamation. And I'm wondering, you know, and I've never thought of it until just now, within the context of the scripture passage, where the devil's saying, well, I can give you all this. And for us to then, in the Lord's Prayer, be proclaiming whose kingdom, power, and glory it actually is.
Right.
Like, we're actually saying it. We're actually, it's almost as if the devil's next to us and we're saying, oh, no, this isn't yours. This is God's.
Right.
And I just wonder if we just reflected on the weight of our words, saying them out loud, yes, with other people who are saying, but if we all really, really, really believed what we're saying, and it wasn't just rote, it wasn't just like, oh yeah, we're almost to the end of this prayer and then I can go have brunch. But like, no, in saying those words, we are participating in God's plan.
And we're putting evil aside.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in the last four petitions, we're saying that we would experience unity at the table, Lord, a unity of nourishment of the daily bread. Mm. That I would express the creative freedom of your forgiveness, which I beg for. That I would allow for that creative freedom in the community by me forgiving those who have sinned against me. And that, Lord, you would protect us from that evil one, so that we can live a life as Aquinas calls us, and as we described in the first season of Songwalk Echoes, oriented to goodness.
Yeah.
It's almost a prayer as the church says, that we dare to say.
Yeah, right.
It has great implications for us to embrace that ethic. Mm-hmm. But we can.
Yeah, really pay attention to the words coming out of our mouth and how do we feel when we hear ourselves say those words.
Mm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Good friend of mine gave me that little trick. I think that's good to share. All right. Well, let's move on to the art. And so full disclosure, Don, whenever you are teeing all these elements up, I just love the kind of the taxonomy that you've created with Song Walk overall, with the mass, the MASS, music, art, scripture, story. Reminder to all listeners, you can always go to the little thumbnail in whatever podcast platform you use, and you can actually look at the piece of art that we discuss in each episode. Little thing there. So anyway, leading up to this episode and looking at the art that you chose, I can usually connect a dot. I can go, oh yeah, okay, I get it. You know, that's gonna real fit in really well here with, you know, in this case, gratitude. I have to be honest, I love this art, but I have no idea how you're making the connection. So I'm going to put you on the spot here to explain it to all of us. But for those that are looking at it, or if you're not, you can go look it up. It is it's a stained glass piece, beautiful, called The Pilgrimage of the Flight into Egypt of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And so it is, it's old, back in the 1400s there. It's at the MoMA in New York, as some of these have been. But anyway, it's gorgeous. But what's the connection here that you're making to gratitude?
It comes back to looking at the three elements that we're talking about, mm-hmm. about thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and hallowed be thy name, kingdom, power, and glory. And it was inspired, it came to me more as an inspiration, but to look at the Holy Family, you know, immediately you'd think their mission was complete. Mary said yes, yeah. The baby was born,
yep.
And we're here. And yet another call to escape, to go to Egypt. Imagine just physically how you'd even wrap your mm-hmm. mind around that.
Yeah.
What? We need to go to Egypt? But yes, they do. And in this beautiful stained glass window, we see Joseph leading Mary and leading the baby Jesus into Egypt. So that sense of thy kingdom come, you know, the Holy Family continues their mission toward bringing the kingdom yeah. here. So they are moving forward. Also, thy will be done, you know. Isn't it enough that I had this baby out exactly. in the desert? Now we've got to travel. Mary's radical yes.
Yeah.
And Joseph's radical yes. Because they both sure. said yes to an angel.
Yeah.
But here they are again saying a radical from the root yes, as Francis invited us to consider, to do the will of the Father. They're also turning toward the Father, mm-hmm. just as Romano Guardini asked us to do in terms of the will of the Lord. How do we turn toward the will of the Lord?
Yeah.
We see them doing that as they're walking toward the desert, toward safety. And we also see the life of beatitude of here Mary's holding Jesus, who embodies beatitude that he would teach about 30 years from then or more.
Yeah.
But they're in a life of beatitude, of poverty in spirit, of meekness, of carrying the weight of mournfulness, of yeah. being unconditional. And then lastly, hallowed be thy name. They are just showing that life of holiness, that they would follow God's will again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that depiction of movement and pilgrimage embodied the power, kingdom power and glory that we're talking about mm-hmm. today. It also talks about the need for an ethic. If we're on a pilgrimage and we're people moving, we have to have an ethic.
Yeah.
We have to have what is it that we're rallying around and saying and praying and believing in while we're on that pilgrimage?
Mm-hmm.
And that spoke to me yeah. as well.
But the fact that, and I think what you're saying about an ethic is also an ethic goes on.
The continual call to trust in the Father's call.
Yeah.
And we see it in the Holy Family in that depiction. And yet we are a people on a journey, and we are continuing that journey. And the Lord's Prayer gives us the ethic to unite in a belief for that
yeah.
that journey.
Yeah. And yet we are though, just as Mary and Joseph in this depiction, they were blessed and carrying out, like they were already doing the work, right? So it's like, it's the, and you've shared this with me, this notion of already but not yet, you know, already but not yet. Like so it's not that the, as we continue to be conformed and forming, we are still, we still have the potential. We still have God working through us as we evolve. So it's not that. I think sometimes when we think of like training for things, you know, I'm going to run a marathon. Well, everything I do up to the marathon, you know, I'm practicing to be able to run that 26 miles. Whereas, and on our journey as Christians, every run, metaphorically, that we go on, we're exercising our faith. We're in the work of faith. Yes, we can get more mature and even better at it and whatever, but it's not that, so we're already in it. We don't have to wait to feel like, okay, now I'm qualified to actually be a disciple. It's like, no, you're doing it now, but you're just not there yet. I mean, none of us are there yet, but we are in the work right now.
Yes. I love that theological concept of already but not yet. You know, that we're formed, we're informed, and we're continually in formation.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
You know, and that goes back to season one
when
we talked about, okay, the moral centeredness aligned to the Father, conform to Jesus in the Beatitudes, make space for grace, look to Mary as an example, and use prudence and the tools of St. Thomas Aquinas of virtues to help us. Yeah. Because we're in a sacramental life. We are formed, informed, and in formation.
Mm-hmm.
The already but not yet. And here we see the Holy Family of all families, the already but not yet. They're fleeing to Egypt to protect Jesus, and they'll live a continual life of already but not yet.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. All right, let's wrap this puppy up here with a story now, which you're titling that we are pilgrims, but you've also got some connections here that I'm guessing are going to be a little bit more timely here with our time here.
Yes. So a good time to be thinking about, you know, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and to wrap that and remind us that we are living an ethic. Mm-hmm. And that we are in a pilgrimage of already but not yet. And in this time, you know, the church in the United States is on pilgrimage. It's on pilgrimage to a Eucharistic revival to help us all renew our faith in Jesus's presence in the Eucharist. And it's an exciting time in the Catholic Church in America. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, we can put that into context of our continuous pilgrimage as people of faith. And, you know, we have been directed and are directing, we've been guided and are guiding our listeners in that pilgrimage of moral centeredness from season one to the six dynamics of faith that we saw in the secular world, and then we saw them in the Mass, and then we saw them in the Lord's Prayer this season. We are people on pilgrimage, and we join the church in terms of its desire to see Jesus in the Eucharist. But we also want to see in us, you know, deeper engagement in the Mass,
mm-hmm.
Developing a prayer ethic where the Lord's Prayer isn't just 55 words, but it's an ethic of living. Next season, as we move from the theoretical to the practical, how do we live out our lives as Catholic families,
mm-hmm.
as an expression of covenant in the world? And then in the next season after that, how do we express these six dynamics in apostolic action, where the rubber hits the road and we're taking care of one another?
Yeah.
And then later on, we'll revisit the Beatitudes as how do we embrace the Beatitudes as an ethic? And then later, let's dig into the virtues again and move from virtuous reality or virtual reality, pardon, mm-hmm. to virtuous reality.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of head, a lot ahead, but also in the context of that, building an ethic as people on pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. And the church is doing that as we speak.
And we can be very grateful for that. So apropos of that, in this season, in this episode, not season yet, but with this episode, sixth faith dynamic year of gratitude, kind of wrapping up at least the sort of the core sort of curriculum, if you will, when we're here now at the echo point, this last sort of punctuation mark that we want to put on gratitude, what would be something that you could leave us with that we can pray over the next week or so?
Let's adopt hearts of gratitude. Very simple. Mm. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer in a way that we are intentional about each one of the words and phrases in it. But let's end up in that place of gratitude where we are giving the Lord Jesus and God the Father the glory, power, and honor they are due, but in the spirit of doxology, in words of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Don, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And stay tuned for our next episode. Got one more here in season four of the Song Walk episode. The Song Walk episode podcast. I've said that now three times. What the heck? The Song Walk Echoes podcast. And in the meantime, keep a song walk in your own heart for the beauty and the brilliance of our Catholic faith.
You've been listening to the Song Walk Echoes podcast. For small group resources related to this podcast and more, visit songwalkechoes.com.